It's Wednesday, March 28th, and you're tuned in to the TNAV podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is your geek chic culture show where we talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world. This week, guess what?
What?
We're talking about the kaiju viewing.
Oh, Mechagodzilla. Hell yeah.
And with the John Boy Aga.
Oh, that one. Okay. Yeah, sure. We can talk about that, I guess. Yeah, sure.
The Pacific Rim Uprising. There you go. Pacific Rim Uprising.
That's our review?
That's our review. We got picks. We got weeks.
We got a question.
But first up, questions to chew on.
Oh, questions to chew on. I already forgot about it. Hell yeah.
Yeah?
Love questions to chew on.
Yeah? There was something else I was supposed to ask you. I forget. It's something you're supposed to decide on.
I'm supposed to decide on?
Yeah.
Weird.
I think it was, which song did you like more? Okay. War Ready or Thunder?
Oh, that's a terrible question. They're both bad. I think I'd have to pick War Ready.
As the worst one?
As the better one.
Are you sure?
Because I can
only... But Thunder.
Because I can... You're the Thunder. The thing is, like...
Lightning and the Thunder.
The thing is, like, that War Ready song is, like, eternally relegated to that trailer. And I never have to watch that trailer again. But Thunder is on the radio still.
I can change that on your iPod. I can put War Ready on your iPod.
No, you can't. Because my iPod's old and you don't have... you can do it on your Mac.
Yeah.
No, you can't do it. You can't do it. It's impossible. You don't have those that 36-pin connector anymore.
Yes, I do.
Do you actually?
I got plenty.
Damn. Those are both terrible songs. Well, what'd you pick?
I didn't pick anything.
You gotta pick one.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
I'm not gonna answer the question.
Pick
at all.
It.
Nope.
Answer the question.
Nope.
Answer the question!
Question wasn't for me, it was for you.
Oh my god, that's a terrible question.
Anyways, yeah, questions to chew on. Here comes Paul's latest. Looking forward to your thoughts on Pacific Rim 2. Well, guess what?
It's coming.
We're gonna give them to you, but you gotta hold on, alright? Yeah. In the meantime, I'll ask a question generated by last episode's Tomb Raider.
I thought you were gonna say it was like generated by like a computer.
I saw it and I thought it was fine.
Alright.
Not great, but okay.
Yep.
Definitely suffered from trying to shoehorn in too many game callbacks to the film.
Hell yeah.
But it's probably still in the upper echelon of video game movies. But as we all know, that's not a high bar.
It's not. Right.
First question is general. What is missing from video game movies to make them great? Is it that they're taking themselves too seriously? Mortal Kombat was awesome, and that's a fact. But it didn't take itself seriously. It leaned into its ridiculous concept. Do others fail because they have too much story to pack in as opposed to a fighting game movie? So what's missing from video games movies that make them great?
That's the thing. Is there really an unironically great video game movie?
Yeah.
What?
Give me a second.
I gotta think about it. It's not coming to me right now.
I know it's out there.
It's called Tekken 2, Kazooie's Revenge.
I know it exists. And,
The King of Fighters movie, when Kyo is a white dude, and when he has a flashback to his childhood, he's Asian.
Is it really not a good video game movie?
Like, anything that's... I want good. I don't want... It was fun. It was mediocre. I'm trying to
think. I feel like I have one, but I can't remember it.
I don't know. Because, like, I recently had this, a bad video games movie marathon with some friends of mine, and, yeah. They're all still bad. Like, Super Mario Bros. The movie? Bad. Double Dragon the movie? Bad. Tekken movies? Terrible. Like, they're ironically fun. Even the Mortal Kombat ones. Like, they're fun. Like, those are movies I wouldn't mind watching again. But they're definitely not good movies.
Yes.
I don't know. Like, it's... I think the whole... The thing between taking themselves too seriously... and just having fun with your stuff really depends on the game. Like, I think those Mortal Kombat movies worked because Mortal Kombat in and of itself is pretty silly. And within the context of a video game, they made some cool... Like, MK9 and MKX, those are cool stories.
Yeah.
But a lot of it comes down to, like... it could also be like those outfits only work in video games.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like if I saw Melina's outfit in real life, I think that's just, looks dumb.
Yeah.
Like there's something otherworldly about video game clothing that they can do with it that like defies certain laws of like physics to make it look cool. And I think he was kind of on the other part, which is like video games are generally longer than movies, right? By like a good margin. Like even the shortest Call of Duty game is at least like 6 to 8 hours, right? And a lot of the story you make is how you played that game, is how you're going through certain levels, right? And it's hard to recreate that in a 2 hour, very static and blockbuster movie.
I don't know if I would necessarily say that's an issue, the time constraint, because I think about how many books get turned into movies, and books take like 12 hours to read sometimes.
Yeah, but you know what they say, a picture's worth 1,000 words. Like, you can just take all the descriptions of landmarks and just have it in a frame.
Yeah, but still, I mean, that's for sure, but I mean, I still think that there's a lot of stuff that they managed to cut out of books and still make a coherent movie.
Okay.
Like, so fair. I don't know if, like, I understand if it's, we're talking like, oh, this is a, you know, 60-hour RPG. Like, obviously you're going to cut stuff out. Yeah. But when it comes to, like, even though those Uncharted games are like 20 hours, mm-hmm. I still see a world where there could be a 2-hour movie, 2.5-hour movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird question because certain movies go too far with it. Like the Doom movie went way too far with trying to be like the video game, where they had the first person sequence and all this stuff. But at the same time, it wasn't the video game because there was no Doom guy. You weren't facing a Kako demon, right? You weren't facing a Pinky. Like that kind of stuff didn't come in. It's like they're trying to serve multiple audiences, but in the end up they end up don't serving any.
Yeah, right? I agree with that.
Especially nowadays, like I feel video game stories are good, right? You can get a good video game story. Like if they made a Doom movie again and they based it off the new 2017 that game came out?
No,
2016 16? Doom. That, yeah. 2016 Doom game. That'd be a really fun action movie if mm-hmm. they can kind of do the story and do the action the way the game did. Same thing with like The Last of Us. Everyone always wanted like a Last of Us movie.
Oh yeah.
And that could, I think that story translates very well into a movie because a lot of the emotional parts are in cinematics, right? It's, they should make video game movies like it's a movie. Again, like one of our complaints with Lara Croft was there's all these video game nods in it. Like she's hiding behind the cabinet in like a really dumb way, or there's all the pickup boxes that are all like brightly colored.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of takes you out of the experience. While it is in the game, that's the experience of the game, right? A movie is a completely different medium. And I feel like when people make video game movies, they're super focused on trying to capture certain magics that happen within video games and transfer them over to a medium that can't handle it.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I think we're just at that early stage, though, where it's like, you know what, people are going to figure it out at some point, and all it takes is one person who actually just wants to make a really nice movie that's based on this thing and not worrying about having to appeal to too many audiences. Yeah. I think it's like the comic book industry, right? The first comic book movies were all awful for like 15 years.
Yeah, and then like Iron Man 1 came out.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh!
Or even further back, like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like the first one.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, cool.
Yeah, things could happen. So I think we're just in the infancy phase.
Yeah, and video games are relatively even if you compare them to comic books, they're relatively new.
Like
the first real video games with stories probably came out in the mid to late 80s.
Yeah.
Right? Before that it was Pong and Tetris and Arkanoid. So
yeah.
You're right. It's still in its like infancy stages.
Yeah.
I think it's a mixture of time, and then like you said, someone needs to come around and just be like, I want to bring this story to the silver screen.
Yep.
But I'm not going to be shackled by the fact that it's a video game. I'm still going to stay true to the source material, but I'm not going to put in all this campy garbage.
Mm-hmm. I hope it turns out like that.
I hope so.
I hope. Okay, second part of his question. As hosts of the Geek Chic Pop Culture Show, who both love movies and video games.
Yes.
You have more expertise in this realm than those Hollywood fat cats who only care about the money.
They should just give us money, and then we'd make movies.
What video game do you think would make a great movie, and how would you do them? Let's say you have completely free reign. Would you make it a movie theater release? Do you feel something like the Netflix is a better place for it? Would you make it a trilogy to tell one game story instead of forcing it into 2-hour constraints? Feel free to go into your choice for director or stars, but don't necessarily need to for this one.
Okay. Hmm. Franchises in video games that would make good movies.
Yeah. Video games.
Yeah. It's a lot easier if it was like a serialized TV show.
But then you can pick that.
Yeah. Because, like, I think, like, playing through Final Fantasy IV,
yeah,
like, that game is short enough and has a lot of great story hooks where I think that would make a great, like, serialized television show.
Yeah.
Right? And you can kind of break it out into reveals and twists and whatever. Mm-hmm. Obviously, God Hand would make a fantastic movie. Nah. Right? Just, like, $200 million budget.
No.
Beautiful Joe.
No. I mean, if you made a cartoon, sure.
That'd be a really meta cartoon.
Yeah. It'd bomb because kids would be like, "What the fuck is this shit?"
Yeah. Why is he rewinding the cartoon?
And then adults won't watch it because it's a cartoon.
Yeah.
So
alienate everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard. Like I mentioned, Last of Us. I think that would be a good.
Television show?
No, transfer over into a movie.
Oh, a movie. Okay.
Right? If I'm restricting myself to movies, I think that'd be a good movie.
Okay, you only want to do movies?
You don't have to.
Okay. That's what you want?
You got anything?
Mm.
You want Forza? Forza Horizon?
Yeah, man, I want that. I want that Gran Turismo.
Oh, shit. That's what I want.
What?
I want Need for Speed Most Wanted.
God. As a movie?
Yeah, as a movie. Like, bring back the street racing. And, like, have the blacklist. Have that dude who steals your BMW. What was his name? Razor.
Was that his name?
I think so. I thought it was a street name. Or was it?
I can't remember.
Need for Speed Most Wanted on the PS2. That was in the Xbox 360.
I don't know. Oh, do we need another driving street racing movie franchise?
You're just
franchise?
Another bolt-on Wonder Boy looking to get smoked. Okay, no, that's an ironically good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't pick that one. Lost in the Woods. Or sorry, Night in the Woods.
Uh-huh.
I'm almost done that, and I think that would be a good
movie. Okay.
Like, just some real life bullshit about, like, planning out your life and how life moves on without you and decisions you make affect other people and stuff like that. I think that'd be, like, a good kind of low tone type of thing.
Yeah,
they should make a TV show on Telltale's The Walking Dead.
Wow.
No.
I think I'd want a movie of Gears of War in the vein of Starship Troopers.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, that's what I would want.
That'd be really fun.
Yeah.
Who's Coltrane? Is it Terry Crews?
See, like, that's the easy pick, but I'd want someone younger.
Okay.
I want Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan as Coltrane.
Yeah, I want Michael B. Jordan as Coltrane. That's what I want.
That'd be good.
That's what I want.
Who's Marcus Fenix, though?
Well, see, that's the tough one. I don't know. Well, I can't think of anybody who would be Marcus Fenix.
Also, do you try and digitize the characters to be as big as they are in the game?
No. But they do have really huge armor.
Okay, they're huge armor. All right.
Yeah, they're huge armor.
Yeah, it's hard. The Uncharted games could make fun adventure romps.
That's just Indiana Jones, right?
Yeah. Especially if they follow the actual game story.
Yeah.
Tetris, no.
They did that movie already.
Did they actually?
I think so.
Did they do a Tetris movie?
And they also, or did they do a Pong movie?
They do a Pong movie?
Can't remember.
Ugh.
I can't remember. It's been a while.
I would like to see them translate like a Blaze Blue story into an anime. Because that's some anime bullshit right there.
I think my dream would be like a hard-boiled detective story based around F-Zero.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
With Captain Falcon.
With like, well, it's called Redline. No. Yeah. Like, it already exists. It's called Redline.
No, no.
It's a great movie.
It's got to be live action.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a hard question to come up with off the top of your head.
The thing is, like, the thing that makes video games great is the fact that they're video games and that they can't be done anywhere else.
Yeah, and that like, you can play them, right?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Like, a lot of my favorite video games are rarely due to the story, right? Like, again, the story in God Hand isn't great.
Yeah. Finally. He admits it.
But the gameplay in God Hand is crazy fun.
That might be even worse.
I love the gameplay in God Hand. It's like super unique, behind the back brawler. Yeah. Like you can't really bring that to a movie. Yeah. And they tried to do first person stuff. They did that Hardcore Henry movie where it's all in first person. And that was okay.
With the G-Pro?
Yeah.
I will. You know what? I do want a Mass Effect TV show.
That's Star Trek.
But yeah, but then it's like, well, that's just sci-fi like everything else,
right? And again, a lot of the stuff that makes Mass Effect fun is like that I can romance a bunch of other people.
Yeah,
right. True. And I get to choose what it is. And
it's true, you're the captain of your own ship.
Like, unless they make like a choose your own adventure television show.
How would they do that?
Like, they put it on Netflix and every time you make a decision in one episode, it changes the next listing for the next episode, but it locks you. So you can't switch between.
That's so expensive. I was thinking about the logistics of trying to film this thing. It's so expensive.
So you'd have to have like 10 different branching paths of episodes through 12 episodes.
Same reason why video games can't really have truly choose your own adventure.
Yeah, it's expensive to make. Like even Mass Effect that has multiple storylines and multiple stories. It all comes down to three endings.
Yeah.
Because it's expensive to have all those branching paths.
That's right. Okay, we've exhausted this question enough. Let's go to his final point.
Video games are good.
One last thing. I was disappointed in the lack of drinking in the drinking and driving segment of the last shows.
Aww.
I like hearing what you guys chose to drink and why. Okay, well, we're not drinking and driving this week. Well, I'm drinking.
Yeah, you're drinking. We're not driving.
I got whiskey again, but I've mixed it with blackberry ginger ale.
Why?
Because I wanted to know.
All right, try it out.
It's not good.
I could have told you that. But yeah, and I didn't drink because I had some medication stuff where I couldn't drink. So it came at a bad time, like right after the first episode.
Yeah, your doctor said no. Yeah,
my doctor's like, hey, cut that shit out, you can't do that.
And I was you're not supposed to be drinking and driving.
Damn, she busted me. She listens to the podcast.
Damn. That's harsh.
So yeah, unfortunately that was just bad timing on that.
Yeah,
but when drinking and driving comes back, not an if but a when.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'll bring that water.
We'll bring those drinks.
Yeah,
we'll bring those drinks,
milk and water.
We should make like a punishment jar of some sort.
No, yeah. I don't think so.
Like sriracha and milk.
That's gross.
if we just gross. Drank cream?
See, I could do that.
Ugh, you're disgusting.
Like cream that you put in your coffee?
Yeah.
Like heavy cream.
Like heavy cream.
I could drink it. Like, I'd feel sick, but I could do it.
If it really came down to it, throw up after, but.
Okay. Great. Now you know what happens when we drink and drive. Or why we haven't been drinking and driving.
Yeah, why we haven't been drinking and driving.
Yeah. Instead, we've been drifting. Well, no, I'd say.
Oh, wow. Wow. 2 weeks in a row with these transitions. Hot damn. Continue.
Yes, we have been drifting, but not the drift that you can think of. No. It's the twin drift into the drift.
It's the drift in your mind, bro.
Exactly. The drift returns, Pacific Rim Uprising. Welcome to the drift again.
The undriftening. What's happening right now?
I don't know. So we checked it out. This is the sequel it's the direct sequel to
Pacific Rim.
However, it takes place 10 years later with a completely different cast under completely different circumstances. stars Jonathan Boyega.
From Star Wars.
Yeah, that boy. And from Attack the Block.
Oh, yeah, he was in Attack the Block.
That's his big break.
I'm just going to quote that from now. Oh, you mean John Boyega? Oh, the guy from Attack the Block.
Yeah.
That's
Star Wars? Fantastic.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah. So there's that guy, and then a whole bunch of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And is it Clint Eastwood's kid?
I think that's Clint Eastwood's kid.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, the haircut?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Clint Eastwood's kid, some other people, and Jian Ting?
Dude, okay.
Jian Wang? Jian Wing? It's a Mandarin girl.
Oh, man. It doesn't have the characters. Oh, there. Yeah. No, the Jing Tan.
Jing Tan.
And Zhang Jin. Shishing.
Shishi? Shishini?
You're getting straight to Rush Hour territory. Yeah, try and pronounce that.
Oh.
Zhang Jin.
No, that's Zhang Jin.
Zhang Jin. All right. Lu Bu.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, and Jing Tian.
Jing Tian.
Yeah.
From Police Story 2013.
Oh, it's a terrible movie.
Yes.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Oh, the other girl was in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon? Oh, she was a stunt double.
Who's the other girl?
The girl who's in charge of the whole rival tech group.
Then who's the other girl?
The other girl?
Yeah.
You mean the girl from the first movie? Who dies?
Isn't she Japanese?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Mako? In the movie,
she's Yeah,
Mako.
What's her real name?
What's her real name? Rinko.
Yeah, that's what I was like.
Yeah, what? Rinko Kikuchi.
Yeah, so then who are these two other Chinese people?
The two Chinese people, one was the CEO.
Yeah.
And then the other one was the...
Oh, the commander dude.
Not the guy... who's at the same rank as John Boyega, but the other recruit, the Asian recruit who takes the scrapyard girl under his wing and who gets hit with like kaiju acid.
On okay, his arm. He doesn't matter.
Yeah, he doesn't matter.
All right, Anthony, hit me with it.
Yo, this movie's disappointing, motherfucker.
Yo, man, why is it disappointing?
Why is it disappointing? This is going to sound a little off color,
uh-oh,
but it feels like a cheap Chinese knockoff of Pacific Rim. So apparently, what was it? What's that company called? Legendary.
Mm.
It got bought out by a Chinese group called the Chinese Wanda Group.
Yeah.
For $3.5 billion with a B. And so they greenlit a sequel because the movie did so well in China.
Yeah.
And you can tell over every inch of this movie. And this isn't meant to be like a knock or like a bad thing. But you can definitely tell that China funded this movie.
Yeah. And the movie. Oh, man. So the biggest thing for me about this movie is that everything moves and looks like the Michael Bay Transformers movies.
Yes. Like it does.
The action. The way the robots have been moved.
They had the 360 pan of Bayham.
They have certain robots that have... Like, they incorporate slightly more... I don't want to say full transforming gimmicks, but there's, like, a lot of transformation aspects that are just, like, this is what the Chinese like.
Yeah, they like Transformers.
Yeah.
They like Michael Bay, and they like Transformers.
Yeah. And that's what this movie looks like, and I think that visual style is one of the big things about the movie that I found... instantly disappointing.
Yeah.
But we can go on to other things too.
I don't know what we want to start with, cuz there's a lot of things that are disappointing about it in my mind apart from the story. Like even still with the aesthetics. Like again, you mentioned that the robots move a lot like Transformers,
yeah,
right? They're jumping around doing flips and whatever. Where in the first movie they felt like just like hulking machines, like every action they did had weight behind it. Every time they hit a kaiju, it was like, damn, it must have hurt. And even it comes down to the interesting locales they fought, right? In the first movie, it was a mix between oceans and harbors and cities, space, right? They did a bunch of cool stuff. where I feel every single fight in this movie is in a highly, like a very dense with skyscrapers cityscape,
mm-hmm.
so that they can have people be punched through buildings and have buildings fall over and all that kind of stuff. And it's like the arena stays the same, which then eventually makes the fights boring. And then just other things, like, again, the because it, they look more like Transformers and they move more like Transformers, a lot of the robots don't have that weight behind it. So when they're doing all this stuff, it doesn't feel like the kaijus are really taking any damage. And the only way you see that is because their face like fucking explodes with blue goo. Right. And it's the only way you really know, because but the punch doesn't actually look like it hurt anything. It kind of just looks like, oh, I popped you, like I hit you with a jab.
Pop, pop.
Yeah. I feel like you said it pretty good at coming out of the movie, which is like, if this movie was a standalone product,
mm-hmm.
I would be totally content.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, that was a movie. I got to see robots fight. And it was fun, right? But because it's a direct sequel to Pacific Rim,
mm-hmm.
it's very disappointing because they also took a lot of the world building out of it. Where in Pacific Rim 1, you get a lot of different locales, not only for the robots, but for the people. So you're getting the army base, you're getting the Shatter Dome, you're getting underground bunkers for civilians, you're getting the black market in China. Right, you're getting all these different characters, you're getting all these different ways that people are dealing with monster attacks or how they're thriving off of it in different ways.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, it's strictly from the military's point of view,
yeah.
and nothing else. Mm-hmm. And it takes away any of the world building
yeah.
that you saw in the first movie, and it makes you kind of long for it. You're like, yo, where is Ron Perlman? He's alive. We know he's alive.
Yeah.
Like, where is he? What is he doing, right?
I agree. I agree.
It just kind of makes it boring.
Yeah, like it takes away the intrigue, the curiosity. I really like the look of the first movie because it was always night and it was always raining.
Yeah, always. It's like, and like all the robots just look fucking gritty.
Yeah, and right? and you know what? For this movie, they go the opposite direction. It's always daytime and it's always clean. Yeah. I can get over that. That's
yeah, fine. And also it kind of makes sense because it is 10 years later.
Yeah,
they haven't had any monster attacks, so yeah. I bet like, technology would have improved exponentially.
Yeah. But I don't know. Yeah, it's just every time I watch this movie, like, there's just nothing about it that I particularly gravitated towards and loved. I especially hated the first 10 minutes when it was John Boyega and he had a narration about how he's not his father. And I was just like, fuck, I don't want to be here for this.
Yeah, as soon as I was like, but I'm not my father. And yeah. I'm like, oh, but you are your father.
Yeah.
You're going to be your father and yeah. you're going to be it, but slightly differently.
Yeah. And then when it turns into he's chasing down a girl.
Yeah.
For a part. And then I'm like, oh, and then
they're Transformers.
And then they're in like the prison together. I'm like, oh, my That's God.
Transformers.
I'm like, this really is like. Transformers meets Power Rangers. Like, yep. This is their origin story. They've been chosen. Give me these teenagers with attitude. Put them in the military. Yeah, and it proceeds from there. And then you're just like, okay, well, that's the type of story it's going to go by.
Yeah. And there's so many teenagers you eventually get to meet.
Yeah.
That when certain story points happen where, like, tragic loss happens, I didn't feel anything for that. Like, I didn't really yeah. care.
Well, I think the problem is, like, none of the characters are very... they're just not interesting. They just
that too. Yeah,
they're just there to serve the plot's purpose. Like, whereas in the first movie, even though they're very, the first movie had very stereotypical characters. They were,
they all served a role.
Yeah, and they all felt very original. Like they had their place in this world, and like they were recognized because of their stereotypes, and
yeah.
and that's why you like them. This one is kind of just like, she's the tough chick. He's the science whiz.
Yeah, like what do they contribute overall yeah. to the team, to the plot, to anything? And it's not much. It's yeah. very minimal.
I will say I was so surprised that I thought that the haircut was probably he surprised me in the sense that he wasn't just the typical like he had like the chip on his shoulder, like he was
John Boyega's partner.
Yeah, I was surprised that he like they made him somewhat likable. or not likable, but like you kind of understood from his point of view, like who he was trying to be.
He was the character with the most depth.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah, you first meet him and you think he's a dick,
but he's not. It's like, he has a mission and he's like, I want these kids to succeed, but it's the military and we have to do things a certain way.
Yeah. I think the most interesting character moment in this movie is when, Haircut has to confront Boyega and dude's making ice cream.
Yeah.
And they're just talking. Yeah.
And it's, and like, then, oh, they know each other.
And then you learn that he's not mad at him. He's just, he wants to just get it out there, like, about what he's trying to do and what he hopes that he can achieve together with him. And it's like, oh, okay.
And it's really weird because that whole sequence, Haircut's given this great, like, monologue of just like, hey, this is who I am. I'm revealing myself as a character. And also I'm reestablishing my connection with you.
Yeah.
And then John Boyega kind of doesn't reciprocate.
Yeah.
Right. His character is still just like, oh, whatever. I don't even want to be here. I hate my dad. And then it kind of ruins that scene a little bit.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of, big backlash on how they treat the character of Mako in this movie.
She didn't do anything.
Yeah. I mean, whatever.
Like she's in the movie for name alone.
Yeah.
Right? And they immediately... Well, they kill her off.
Yeah.
Right? But even her contributions to the movie before that death scene...
Yeah.
Very minimal.
Yeah.
She was there to...
She's a plot device.
Yeah, she's literally a plot device. And it's super disappointing because she played such an important and interesting role in the first movie.
Yeah.
And they threw this character away.
Yeah.
There's too many people. They need room for all those Chinese actors.
Yeah. And that's the thing. So we say this is funded by China, and it's like, the reason we say that in the way it's detrimental to the film is that because one of the biggest characters in this movie is this rich Chinese CEO, and you know no matter where the movie is trying to lead you, she can do no wrong.
Yeah, no, she's obviously going to be the hero.
And they make sure to let you know that she's the hero from start to finish.
Yeah.
She's the one who worked from the ground up to build her company. She's the one who saves her company at the drop of a hat. She's the one who
magically has piloting skills.
Yeah, and she's the one who saves the two hero characters at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's unreal how much this one girl can do. So
it's like, why isn't she a main character? What's happening?
Like,
right
now? Why isn't the movie about her versus here's the Chinese CEO doing everything?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. For me, like, yeah. Like, does it check all the boxes of fun, action, wild, anime, mecha, shonen
stuff?
Totally.
Yeah.
Is it a bad movie? No. But it is, it's one of those things where it's like, it misses the mark of what the first Pacific Rim offered so far that I can't help but not be disappointed every time I look at this film.
If this wasn't titled a Pacific Rim movie,
yeah,
I probably wouldn't make the connection.
Yeah.
Like, other than the fact that they have a robot that looks pretty much like Gypsy Danger.
Yeah.
Right? If they changed that one robot and they named the movie something else,
yeah,
I would have no relation to that first movie.
Yeah. Like, I understand why they didn't name it 2, because it definitely isn't a 2. It's a it's a branch off to something else.
And also, like, was it Charlie Day's character?
Yeah.
He becomes kind of like the main villain in the movie. And I don't know, his transformation makes sense story-wise, but it just felt lazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, he's addicted, man. He's addicted to the drift.
Yeah.
Right? And also, like, certain things don't make sense in terms of why he would have access to those things. Like, he is high ranking within the company, but how would the company not know that a kaiju brain was taken from their lab? Like, it's just hanging out in his apartment, right? At no point was anybody like, that's weird.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's,
like, a lot of things don't make sense. Like, how they tried to fit John Boyega's entire character inside of... the relationship between Mako and Pentecost.
Oh, I wasn't there because he kicked me out. He disowned me.
And you're just like, what? Like, it's just weird that, like, obviously, because it's after the fact, they can only do so much, but it's just weird that if you watch the first movie, you'd be like, there's no fucking way Pentecost has a son.
Yeah, he doesn't mention anything about family. He's just like, I am about this kaiju battle.
Because it's one of those moments where you would think he's like, in the first movie where he makes a speech, he would say something about his son.
Yeah, but he doesn't.
No.
So.
But that's how much of a dick he is, man.
Yeah. I'm just disappointed we don't know what happens to Raleigh.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Raleigh was gonna be in the evil gypsy danger.
Yeah.
But then he wasn't.
Yeah.
And now he's just gone. Like even Mako's character doesn't mention him at all.
Yeah. So.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Movie's disappointing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a disappointing out of five.
It sure is. It's a disappointing, like, when your mom gives you that look and you're like, fuck, I screwed up.
Is it a 2 out of 5 disappointing or a 3 out of 5 disappointing?
I don't know. I would probably give it like a... I'm just... You know what? I wouldn't watch it again, so I guess I'd give it a 2.
Yeah, same. I think I'd give it a 2, especially... since we rewatched Pacific Rim before this movie came out. So everything was fresh. Everything was so cool.
Yeah.
Man, when elbow rockets first happened in that movie and like it went on and then it took time to like move the robot's arm and stuff. And then this one is just like elbow rocket. Bam.
Yeah.
You don't see anything.
Well, that's the thing. They overuse all their special powers in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's a point where Gypsy just keeps shooting the gun, and you're like, we get it.
Yeah, we got it. It's not special anymore.
You got a gun. You got a gravity beam. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing about the plasma cannon in the first one is that it was a ton of power. It was super powerful, but you can't really use it all that often.
Yeah.
And in one of the ending scenes, he's just, like, machine gunning it in the air. Right?
Yeah.
So.
I think, this movie makes a lot of mistakes where it tries to be Transformers.
Yeah.
But that's not what this was.
Yeah.
Or that's not what the series was supposed to be.
Yeah. So, I'm bummed.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
I was looking forward to it.
Made in China. What'd you expect?
Everything's made in China, though. You can't say that.
True, I can't.
I can't say that. Some great things are made in China.
I don't know. I've been noticing lately a lot of shirts are made in Bangladesh.
That's because it's cheaper.
Yeah.
Because China makes quality now.
Oh, they do. Hot damn.
You know, it's I hate that kind of stereotype, though. Just as a side note.
Yeah.
Like, everything cheap is made in China. When the reality is, it's not that.
It's just their labor costs are the floor.
Yeah. And, like, you can get something made for quality in China if you paid them more.
Yeah. But they don't.
Yeah. But the thing is, you want the cheapest thing, so...
Let me tell you about late-stage capitalism.
Let's not go there. Let's not go there. Oh, God. Anyways.
Yeah, let's move on. Let's get away from this.
Okay, let's go on to another movie pick.
Go.
Deadpool 2 had another trailer.
Hell yeah, it did. I'm more excited for that than I am for Infinity Wars.
I don't know if I am. It looks like it's going to be a fun time, though.
Great use of the soundtrack. Playing Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J.
Yeah.
Just all the kind of self-referencing, self-depreciating jokes.
Yeah.
I'm going to call ourselves X-Force. Isn't that derivative? You're right. Like, just a lot of that stuff. Man, Deadpool... I can't believe they got away with making an R-rated superhero film.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's the world we live in.
Yeah, that's fantastic. But the fact that they made that... it sold like gangbusters, and that they're making another one, that's crazy to me. Because whenever I think superhero movies, I still go, okay, it's going to be a PG-13 appeals to everybody blockbuster, where, man, like, Deadpool found its audience and it's 18 plus.
It's
crazy stuff.
Yeah, this trailer's pretty cool. Shows some cool things.
Yeah.
Terry
Crews is in it.
He is. Cable punches Deadpool?
He does. Who's the kid that Cable's trying to collect?
I don't know.
Like some bigger Mexican kid.
I have no idea.
All right. Oh, well. But we'll see it.
Yeah, it's got good. The X-Force. It's gonna be good. It's got the black X-Force Deadpool suit.
Yeah.
So that looks like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had another trailer pick, which was Fooly Cooly Seasons 2 and 3.
Fooly Cooly.
are getting, or they got a new trailer. They showed a lot of new animation, kind of what the story is going to be about. And they got release dates. So what was it? Was it called? It was Fooly Cooly Alternative. It's coming out in June.
Okay.
And Fooly Cooly Alternative. Wait, did I say that twice? Sorry. And Fooly Cooly Progressive is coming out in September.
Yes. Seasons 2 and 3.
I really like that show still. I remember that had some heated discussion when we watched it on the podcast. But it really is one of those shows that you kind of have to watch more than once.
Yeah, I didn't like it the first time around.
Yeah, you really have to watch it more than once to kind of get it.
Yeah.
But once you do, you kind of see where certain people are coming from with that stuff. There's obviously people who are like super fans.
Yeah. I wouldn't call myself a super fan of that show, but I do enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. But I'm excited. They got the pillows back when they had that guitar riff.
Yeah.
Come on. Ding, ding, ding. I was like, whoo, chills. Hey, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff. It looks the same, but different, which is cool. Like they're making like nods to older scenes. They're still doing this whole thing of the overarching story of like finding yourself. But it seems more overt this time. Like you might not have to watch it twice to get it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm just excited. I can't wait. I want more Fooly Cooly.
Yeah. I'll watch it. I'll check it out.
Really?
I think so.
Okay.
Fooly Cooly.
Yeah, but that was it.
Yeah.
Again, Slow News Week.
Yeah, it's time, like it's the time of the year where movies are coming out.
Yeah, movies. Mm. I don't check movie news, so.
Next movie we're watching is
Ready Player One.
Is that this?
I think that's today.
Okay.
I know one of my friends is seeing it today.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's out.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. See, that's another movie that like I'm looking forward to that I have a feeling is not going to be good.
It's not going to live up.
That's going to be 3 in a row. If that's Tomb Raider, Pacific Rim, and then this, I'm going to be so sad.
I was disappointed like that I've seen so many movies that were close to being what they originally wanted it to be, which was Pacific Rim and then Mary and the Witch's Flower.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. Mary and the Witch's Flower wanted to be a Ghibli movie so bad, and it checked all the boxes, but it missed the mark.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, man, how many of these movies am I going to watch this year?
Yeah. Damn, I can't remember the last movie I watched that was genuinely...
This year, think about it.
This year. I think Black Panther would be the closest one.
Black Panther I really liked. I would say that counts.
I liked, but I didn't love. Like, I wasn't like,
man, shit. I need to watch that again.
Yeah. Like, no, I don't think there's a movie this year yet that I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, not I have this list of like movies I've watched this year, and it's Black Panther, The Phantom Thread, Red Sparrow, Mary and the Witch's Flower, and Pacific Rim.
Yeah. I'm pinning all my hopes on the Avengers now. I hope it's a good movie.
Putting all my hopes on Deadpool.
Okay. Oh no, I want to see Venom. I'm excited
for Venom. I don't know, man. I like the casting, but they didn't really show anything that was superhero-y.
He's not a hero.
True. But he also didn't show any powers of anything. It's just a man. It's just.
I am excited to see a supervillain movie.
Okay, that'd be fun.
That's what I'm excited to see.
Would you want a Doc Ock origin story?
Nah, because he doesn't straddle the line.
Okay. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, because Venom does kind of straddle.
Yeah, he's evil, and then he's like, "Well, am I evil?
Am I?
Am I?
Or am I getting shit done?
Yeah.
Hand in your badge.
Yeah, so no more picks. How about weeks?
Oh, I did a lot of my week.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think. 1, 2, 3. I did very little. I did one thing that was eye-opening.
Yeah.
You know, I don't ride my bike in the winter.
Yeah.
I bought winter gear, and it's true what they say. There's never a situation where you cannot ride as long as you have the proper gear.
Damn. Yeah. So what'd you buy?
I bought thermal tights.
Mm-hmm.
I bought overshoes. They're like condoms for my shoes. Like waterproof heat insulated condoms for my shoes.
Wow. Disgusting. Yeah. Is it lubricated?
No.
Is it ribbed for foot pleasure?
No, but it's some thick rubber.
All right.
Yeah, it's thick rubber. I bought a thermal jacket. I bought thermal gloves. Or windproof gloves. Because that was always the issue. I have the, it's not a full balaclava, it's just the one that cuts a cup to your face.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I have a hat under my helmet, and it's warm.
Like, too warm?
It's quite warm.
Okay.
The only thing I ran into problem is electronics tend to die in colder weather.
They do.
Especially your Bluetooth headphones. You can't use that. But you don't need to drink as much because you're cold.
You're storing all that water.
Yeah, so that's fun. But yeah, no, it's great. I'm not going as fast. I'm definitely slower. And you can feel the extra clothing material on you in terms of weight when you're going up hills.
Okay.
But it's nice to be able to go out there in the colder weather. And it's a different sensation because I'm not worrying about humidity anymore.
Yeah.
It's just cold.
Have you ordered your new bike yet?
No.
No?
I have not. I don't know when I'm going to do that. I want to wait for a sale. I don't want to wait. I just don't want to buy it at full price.
Got to get that carbon frame, boy.
I know. Did you buy your new bike yet?
Not yet.
Oh, better get on that.
I'm still deciding between large and medium large for sizing. I don't know what to do. Because I've been reading, and what that guy said at the store was true, which is if you get a smaller frame, even... So, like, medium to large fits, like, 5'8 to 6'2.
Yeah.
Where large is 6 to, like, 6'8.
Yeah.
And so I'll fit on either. It's just, like, how am I riding on the seat? Like, if I get the large, it's a lower seat. But if I get the medium large, it's a higher seat.
Okay.
And people are just saying that, like, the way your body's positioned like that, you could probably get more power out of a medium large. But I don't know if that's comfortable for me or more comfortable than the large because I only tried the medium large. I didn't try the large. So.
Yeah, no, it's a valid point. It's,
I'll probably, I'm going to the store on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask the, because on their website, it says they have both.
Yeah.
They have both the sizes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask if I can test ride it.
Yeah. You should.
Yeah.
I think mine is... I think mine's just right for me.
You're how tall again?
5'8".
Okay. And you're doing medium large? Medium?
Medium.
Okay.
Mine's just right for me. But the difference with me is I have long legs and a short torso.
Okay.
Versus most people my height, so my seat is really high anyway.
I have long everything. I'm just long. Okay. I'm a very long person.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I do with my week. Not a whole lot. I mean, I still play the regular games. I play Monster Hunter.
Yo, Devil Joe!
Yeah, we talked about Devil Joe.
Did we?
Yeah, we talked about last week.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we talked about Devil Joe.
Devil Joe's cool.
He is. He's cool.
You're still not rank 50, so we can't do the tempered one.
Right. I'm not ranked 50. More of the same. Watch more Top Gear and then yeah. That's it for me.
Alright. So I watched a lot of Kung Fu movies. I had another marathon day and the theme this time was Chinese Kung Fu films.
Why so fast?
Wipe us off, you bleeding. Rush Hour doesn't count as Chinese Kung Fu, but it was in the bonus. But what I basically did is I picked a movie, one movie from each decade starting from the 60s.
Wow.
And I went all the way up until the 2010s.
Okay.
So the first movie from 1966 is called Come Drink With Me.
Mm-hmm.
It is about a rogue clan. They steal... a prince, pretty much, and they send the Golden Swallow out to get him back.
Who's the Golden Swallow?
The Golden Swallow is a female bodyguard for the kingdom, and this movie is, from what I've read, credited with being, if not one of the first action movies with a female lead, at least the first Chinese action movie with a female lead.
Mm.
And Golden Swallow is trying to infiltrate and figure out where this rogue group is hiding. Use their sweet kung fu skills to defeat the bad guy and bring back the dude. This movie starts off pretty... So like the overall plot's actually pretty fun. And if you can get past like the 1960s special effects and filming style, it's actually pretty fun to watch. But it gets super campy. At one point, they meet like two grandmasters. and they have a special kung fu move that lets them shoot wind out of their hand.
That checks out.
And like, and they can like pierce boulders with their fingers and
no,
stuff.
No, that checks out.
That all checks out. That's real kung fu. But because the effects are so old, if you look really closely in scenes when they do their little wind blast, you can see like a hose in their sleeve and stuff like that. Right? So it's really campy. But the actual like premise for the movie was pretty good.
Nice.
The next one after that was Game of Death.
Okay.
Well, Bruce Lee, 1970s, yep. Late 70s. This was the one where he died during filming.
Yeah.
I meant to pick Enter the Dragon, but I got the titles mixed up. And I didn't check the movie when I did it. Right. And Game of Death is not good. It is not a good movie. The ending scene, still super iconic, where he's going up the tower, defeating all the guys. He fights Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
He sure does.
All that stuff. That stuff's cool. Yellow tracksuit, great. But the rest of that movie is not good. It's not good.
Okay.
And also, there's really weird scenes with this one, too, because Bruce Lee died mid-filming. There are scenes where it's like, is this Bruce Lee? It's obviously not Bruce Lee. Like, there's like a whole 20-minute motorcycle fight scene where he has a helmet on, and it's like, that's not Bruce Lee. Like,
you don't know that.
It's some other dude in a jumpsuit. There is a scene at the beginning where supposed Bruce Lee is in his trailer, and he's looking into the mirror. And how the scene is shot is that the camera is placed behind Bruce Lee's head, looking at a mirror. And then someone is behind Bruce Lee talking, and you see them in the mirror. But the thing is, it's not Bruce Lee sitting at the thing. It's someone else. And what they did is they got a paper cutout of Bruce Lee's face and taped it to the mirror.
That's ingenuity.
And then they had the guy just kind of sit in a way where the neck matched up with the paper cutout. Yeah. But you could like see it move, and the head didn't move. And you're like, what's going on here?
Special effects at its finest.
Oh, my God. Yeah. If you've watched that movie, like, when you were a kid and you loved it, don't watch it again, because it'll ruin it.
All right.
Then I went to the 80s. We did Wheels on Meals.
Yeah.
Jackie Chan. That one's really good. Jackie Chan and his roommate, they're just kind of in Spain. They run, like, a Chinese food cart.
You pick up Wheels on Meals.
Yeah, I like that movie a lot.
You didn't pick Drunken Master?
No, I did not. I did not pick Drunken Master.
Okay.
Because I think we've seen it before. So I didn't want to pick it because I think the majority of people there saw it before.
Okay.
So I picked Wheels on Meals. That one's really fun. I forgot how fast that movie moves in terms of plot. Like, a lot of the beginning of it is just, like, pretty steady. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, the girl you were with is a princess and there's, like, a castle and you got the kung fu everybody. Oh, my God, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And it just kind of goes all the way.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Okay.
It was okay. Next one was the 90s. The 90s was Hard Boiled.
Oh, good choice.
We picked Hard Boiled. So I had forgotten all about Hard Boiled.
I can't believe how can you claim to be a kung fu fan?
I didn't think guns were part of my kung fu repertoire.
They
needed to be. I need to refresh myself on that movie. And hot damn, Hard Boiled was probably the best movie in that whole thing.
Yeah,
it's so good. John Woo, Chow Yun Fat.
Yeah,
you're a cop. You're tequila. You're a wild gun. You can't do it. The final action scene in that movie, it takes place in a hospital. That scene is 40 minutes. Of just nonstop guns and explosions and diving through glass.
It's entertainment.
And blood and everything. It's insane.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of practical effects going on in each scene is out of control.
Yeah.
And even today, it's kind of like crazy to look at. It's nuts. It's a great movie.
Mm.
It's a fantastic movie.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good one.
Next was 2000s. I had picked Flashpoint.
Kung Fu Panda?
I did not pick Kung Fu Panda. I had picked Flashpoint, but apparently I had broken the rule. I hit Double Jeopardy, which is apparently way back in one of our first marathons, like 3 years ago, I had shown Flashpoint and I just forgot. So instead of watching Flashpoint again, I showed them Police Story.
Oh.
And Police Story, also fantastic movie. Not from the 2000s. It's from the 90s. I didn't have anything else from the 2000s in the list.
Kung Fu Panda.
No, I'm not going to watch that. And Police Story, hot. Damn, that is just Jackie Chan getting hurt. Him falling through a bunch of stuff, driving. Yo, remember the favela scene in Fast and the Furious?
Yeah.
Yo, they ripped off Police Story. I forgot that scene was in the movie, and Jackie Chan's just driving cars through a shanty town down a mountain.
Yeah.
Like, they ripped that off from Police Story. That movie is I think still holds in terms of story. I think still holds in terms of action, but I think is extra kind of worth the watch because of Jackie Chan's dedication to doing all his own stunts himself. When Jackie gets thrown off one like the second story of a shopping mall through a gazebo down to the floor, that's just him going through wood and hitting tile.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's insane. When one of the female leads gets tossed through a glass display. It's movie glass, mm-hmm. but she gets tossed through a glass display.
Yeah.
Right? And they show all of that stuff in the credits. Yeah. They show, like, people getting hurt, people being sent to hospitals. Oh, yeah, that's
a Jackie Chan thing.
Yeah, it's a show that it's all real. Yeah. That's a cool feature.
Yeah.
Right? It's a show that's all real, that he does all of his stuff. And that's what kind of makes me appreciate Jackie Chan more. The more modern action movies, like, the stars are kind of good at doing stuff, but they're not actually doing it. They're acting it, right?
Yeah.
Like, Jackie Chan was really doing kung fu stuff. He was falling through shit.
Yeah.
They didn't have to do those changed camera angles because they just were like, boom, here it is. I fell through this thing. Also, I broke my foot. Ow. But I'm going to keep going.
Okay.
Right? And then 2010, the 2010s, I ended it off with Dragon. By Donnie Yen. Donnie Yen.
You didn't choose Ip Man?
No, so Ip Man was 2000s.
Oh.
The file I had for Ip Man was too big for the hard drive.
Oh.
Because it's in FAT 32.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, it can only, I think, up to, like, 3 gigs, 4 gigs per single file.
Yeah.
And it was bigger than that, so I couldn't transfer it over. Disappointing, I know. So yeah, we watched Dragon. I think the Chinese title is Wuxia.
Okay.
W-U space.
I didn't have a Jet Li movie in here.
X-I-A. I did not. I had Jet Li in the 90s, but because it was like a kind of like an Ip Man type story, like of like Kung Fu Master coming up, I was like, nah, I just want to watch guns.
You should put Cradle to the Grave.
Oh, Cradle to the Grave doesn't count. It's an American director.
What about Romeo and Juliet?
Romeo and Juliet also doesn't count. American director. Listen, and just to cover all the bases, I tried to do Unleashed. Doesn't count. Doesn't fit.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I did Dragon, and that was a good way to, like, kind of end out the marathon because it's very calm. It's like part murder mystery, part kung fu movie.
Yeah.
And
that was a great way to end out. No, it wasn't.
It was pretty fun.
No, it wasn't a great way to end out. You could have picked something better.
I probably could have.
You know what you could have picked?
What could I have picked?
Kung Fu Yoga.
No! No! That movie's not good.
Yeah, but did they know that?
We went through it.
Your friends don't know.
I couldn't do it. Listen, it's not that it didn't cross my mind. It's that my last marathon was purposefully bad movies. So I didn't want to do any of that again. So yeah, we watched Dragon. I forgot how fucking stupid that movie ends, where Donnie Yen's fighting his father, and then the guy who's basically Zhuge Liang, he's like, oh, I put a needle in his foot, and then he runs up and puts a needle in the guy's neck, and he becomes like a current, and lightning strikes him, and he dies. Like, it's so stupid, and like everything coming up to that point was fun.
Yeah.
The way that they're trying to reveal that Donnie Yen used to be this crazy motherfucker. There's one scene where he's leading him through the forest for like a shortcut to get back to town. And they use sound alone to just convey the stress that the Zhu, like, Ge Liang equivalent character is feeling from Donnie Yen just by standing near him.
For sure.
Right? And stuff like that. So it was, I liked that movie. It was pretty fun. Ending could have been whatever. Like, it could have been better, but. And then, yeah, that was it. We got through all six movies. Went to, like, I want to say, like, 1 a.m., 1:30.
Wow. A lot of movie.
Yeah, it was a lot of movie. It was a good time. I liked it.
Good.
Yeah. Other than that, what else did I do? Oh, I played a new game. Well, it's not. I bought it a while ago. I think I bought it, like, November last year, but I only just played it now. What do you think the acronym SGZH stands for?
Super gay zombie hoppers.
Ooh, close. You got one of the words right.
What?
Schoolgirl zombie hunter.
Oh, so how did I not get that?
How'd you not get that? So this is a game by the same guys who create the One Chambara series.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. And so a zombie apocalypse has taken over the school.
But you gotta shoot them in the panties and make them fall in love with you.
No, you gotta shoot them in the face and make them explode. Oh. But sometimes when you get hit by zombies, your clothes get ripped.
Oh, sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. And by sometimes, I mean all the time. But if you want to skip the middleman and just say, fuck it, there's a dedicated remove your clothes button.
Whoa.
There's a button dedicated on the controller for you to take your clothes and throw them away.
And what does this do?
It allows you to play in a underwear.
Oh.
What okay. other gameplay purpose does it have?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, does it make you faster? Are you lighter?
I don't know yet. Okay. But it's a super dumb game. It's got all your anime girl stereotypes. There's a serious one. There's the ditzy yep. one. There's the best friend. There's the kind of unremarkable main character who binds them all together.
Yeah, that's her job.
And the game is a third-person shooter, and it's set out into stages. So, like, stage 1-1 will be the top floor of the school. Stage 2-2 will be the bottom floor of the school. And it's basically get from point A to point B and then watch a cutscene, pick a new stage, collect new weapons. It's not good.
No.
It's not a good game. No. But it's just campy enough to where I want to keep playing it.
What? Why?
I don't know. There's something about it. There's just something about it. Could it be the fact that there's half-naked girls shooting zombies in the face? Maybe. I'm not going to say that's the definitive answer, but it could be a factor.
Wow.
It could be a factor.
Well,
I think this thing has like a Metacritic of like a solid 50%.
Oh, it's not too bad.
So it's not great.
Just not awesome.
It's just not awesome. It's just also you get a partner when you go in. So you pick your main character, but also a partner, like an AI controlled partner to go in.
Yep.
Your AI controlled partner does not miss a shot.
No?
You don't have to do anything. There was a horde of zombies that appeared. I gave the other one an assault rifle that I had unlocked.
Nice.
And she took care of the whole crowd. I didn't do anything. Every shot was a headshot. They were unstoppable. It was amazing.
Nice.
So the game doesn't seem too hard.
Okay.
Not it also bad. Seems dumb.
Not bad.
Says that. And then I've been playing through more Final Fantasy IV.
FF4? Okay.
Yeah. I'm grinding out.
How far are you now? Are you almost done?
I got my airship. I'm starting to go to the mist. I have to go to the mist.
Okay.
And I don't know what's there yet, but I'm trying to go... I'm just taking my airship and exploring around mm-hmm. to level up my characters and get new equipment right now. Because mm-hmm. my equipment is not so hot. So I kind of want to be overgeared for the next area. Yeah. But my one friend kind of let it slip that apparently in the next dungeon I can't wear anything metallic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I have to go get a bunch of like cloth and arrows and a bunch of stuff.
Wood.
Yeah, and wood stuff. Yeah. So a little disappointing.
What's disappointing about that?
Nothing. I don't like those dungeons. The ones that are just like you can't use this thing.
Why?
I don't know. It feels like a cheap challenge, like a cheap caveat. I don't know.
It's fine.
Hopefully it won't last too long. But I still am really enjoying it. Still can't believe he just turns into a paladin and you don't get the change between. That's lame. But yeah, that's been my week.
Good to know.
Yeah.
That's great. I think that's a great place to end the podcast as well, because that's been a show.
Yeah.
So what have we learned today?
We've learned that Pacific Rim very disappointing. Questions to Chew On is still my favorite segment of the show. What else did we learn? Slow News Week.
Yeah. And
I don't know.
Kung Fu's cool.
Kung Fu's dope. You should watch Kung Fu movies. They're really cool. Especially, and you should watch movies from different cultures in general.
Yeah.
I think they offer a lot of cool stuff that you don't get.
Yeah, especially those ones that are hybrid culturalization.
Yeah.
Like Kung Fu Yoga.
I was going to say like maybe The Raid.
No.
Kung or Fu like Yoga. Ong Bak.
No. Kung Fu Yoga.
Ong Bak, oh, I was disappointed. I limited myself too hard with like
only Chinese films. I know. Why did you not put in Ong Bak?
Because it was Indonesian. It doesn't count. You're saying all Asians look the same?
I'm saying all Asians look the same.
All right, that's fine. As long as you said it, not me. You can say that. I can't.
All right, then. Thanks for listening, everybody. Next week is April...
Fools? No. Yeah, it's April, but...
April something. So have a great Easter if you're doing that.
Yeah.
Or if you're listening to this on Easter.
Don't get fooled. Don't get fooled on April 1st.
April 1st is Easter.
Yeah, don't get fooled.
Oh, that's going to be a fun Easter.
Yeah. Here's some chocolate. JK. It's poop.
What if all those God people who go to church? Here's the body of Christ. Not. It's my skin.
But JK again. I am Christ. And he like disappears into the
ether. Oh, shit. I want to go to that church.
Hell yeah. I want to see April Fool's Jesus. Take my body, JK, it's my skin. JK, it's actually me still.
Oh, gross. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.